Welcome to Limitless with Lisa Z, a podcast about how to move from inspiration to action and bring our dreams to life. I'm Lisa Zahia, and each week I'll release two podcasts, one where I walk you through action steps about how to make your dreams a reality, with another podcast in which I interview amazing changemakers from all over the world. This podcast isn't just for listening. Take notes and take action. Let's ignite and change the world together. I'm so excited about today. It is all about looking and feeling your best. I get to interview my stylist, Marisol Colette, who is an Asheville-based personal stylist and psychotherapist who combines both those roles to do fashion counseling and working on personal identity. So a really interesting look at looking at style and how you integrate clothing into your brand. We talk about how she worked with me in my brand development. So stay tuned and enjoy this episode.
I'm so glad you're here today. My first question is, what inspired you today?
Today, I felt inspired by the rain. The last part of my name, Sol, means sun, and I typically don't appreciate the rain and the gray as much as I do the sunshine, but something about it allowed me to get into my body, and the moodiness of it got me into like a nice focused zone for the day. And I don't feel the distractions since we're currently in the dog days, the height of summer.
Awesome. Yes. I also get inspired by the rain as long as I'm like, you know, being picky and I'm like on the right day with the right things.
For sure.
With some tea and a nap. Yes. I like it. What inspires you in general?
I didn't think of that. Like you told me that might be a question on the podcast. I didn't think of it ahead of time. And so I just let come through what comes through right now, which is my husband. And I'm positive that lots of people would say that about their spouses, but I 100% surprised myself just now. He is my biggest cheerleader, and he is, outside of best girlfriends, one of the first people, especially in a relationship, in a romantic relationship, who has not only seen me, like really seen me exactly for who I am, but he has a vision of me that I don't always see. And that when he says it, it's like a hell yes.
Aww. I just want to say that I met your husband because not only do we know each other from work and from living in the same town, but I taught or helped you all choreograph your first dance for your wedding.
Yeah, you did.
My favorite part of it was he was always like, okay, like whatever we were doing. All right. And he was like, sure, I'll try that. And that's always my like thought about him, is he's just like affable. He was like, great, no problem. Yeah.
He's not a lot gets in his way, especially around dance and having fun and music. And there's none of that constriction around like, what do I need to look like? What am I supposed to be doing here? So we were both really grateful to have you giving us the instruction. And yes, you choreographed the dance. You didn't help, you choreographed it. And you should probably see the video, because I did like the inclusion of all of my bridesmaids and groomsmen's and groomsmaids and all of the people that were there. And it's hysterical. It's hysterical.
I should find all those because I did so many. Like they're all out in the world, but he impressed me. He was just like, yeah, sure. I'd be like, can you do this? And then put your head like this. And he'd be like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I really awesome. Loved it. So we know each other that way, but we just have worked together where I am your client. And when I talk about you, I say I worked with a stylist, or she is my stylist. How do you describe yourself and your role?
Yeah, definitely personal stylist. I mean, at the forefront of my business is beauty and image, as we each individually express that. The training that I have for 17 or 18 years is as a therapist. So I married those two skills of mine as a fashion consultant and personal stylist with my training as a trauma-informed body-based therapist. So I call myself the fashion therapist. So what that means means is a lot of people call me and they say, you know, I just want to know what fits and colors and everything look good on me. And so I have all that technical skill, but I'm also really interested in the experience of getting dressed, that helping people to enjoy getting dressed, because I believe that when we are comfortable and confident in what we wear, we are comfortable and confident in what we do. So if we get to that critical place of being able to fully express yourself through what you wear, that to me creates an incredible foundation for doing amazing work in the world.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I think that why I came to you is I wanted to match my brand. And I was in transition from having a dance and fitness business to the coaching business. I mean, that's been a while, but I didn't necessarily feel like that has caught up. Tell me a little bit about, like, I came to you, what was the process and what did you do when I was like, I want to match my brand to what I'm wearing on the outside?
It is still an evolving process, because not just, it was like just a month ago that we even did another level of it, which I'll talk about. But you contacted me because people who are your clients have worked with me. You wanted to see what that was about. You're also referring some of your clients to me. There was lots of different parts and pieces. I did a business consultation with you, a 90-minute consultation for starters, and it was so very impactful, truly. And so, you know, all of these, and so you got to hear the inner workings of my business, which it sounds like was interesting to you. And so when I met you, I mean, we were kind of fresh off of the intensity of COVID, and you were starting to do a lot more travel. And I don't know if you knew exactly where you would be now, which is in a very travel-oriented sort of transient place where you land where you are. That was either coming, or that's kind of a product of where your business was going. And you had had a long history with health and relationships that you were saying, like, this is history. There's something new emerging. This is my understanding from what we've talked about. So for me, it was amazing. I felt very honored to be on the precipice of getting to identify your business through your brand, because you are your brand so visually. You know, you live your brand, but you look your brand too. All of the things that you believe in and stand for are part of your physical appearance and the kind of the characteristics that you emanate. So getting to take you, what we called was, I don't know, did we start with 2.0, Lisa 2.0, or did we jump to 3.0 and then go to 4.0?
I think we went right from 0 to 3.0, which seems to me like that's a straight me move. No, I want to do 8.0 immediately. Thank you.
Excellent. Awesome. Cannot wait for that. So yeah, we went Lisa now to Lisa 3.0, because 2.0 just wasn't even far enough. That meant stretching you outside your comfort zone, really getting your closet cleared of all of the pieces that were historical. And what that meant was things that didn't fit great, too many repeats of like, Lisa wears this, but it's all the same because it's easy and comfortable and what you know. And then things that were outdated, like they weren't quality, they hadn't been worn in a while, they didn't fit the perfect way. And so we cleared all that up and we replaced them with very specific pieces that were a little outside the comfort zone and or things you hadn't considered before, but that were direct replacements of those things, so that when you go into your closet, you're going to reach for pieces that were the comfortability, like you were going to find that same level of comfortability in your closet, but with a whole new wardrobe. And then more recently, because our time was a little bit more extended than some of my typical programs with my clients, it was very clear at that final shopping that we needed to do Lisa 4.0, because to me, that's who you truly are, but it has that essence of who you're becoming. So that's even more outside of your comfort zone and taking it to this place. Like, you wanted to stand out. You want to stand out. You do. When people meet you, they've not met anyone like you. So how do we represent that in your clothes, especially when things, trends are out there and everybody's wearing them, et cetera. So we are really looking for Lisa specific outside of the norm clothes.
Yes. And as an aside, I'm just telling you this live on air, is that Kate Hugo, the leopard print and purple jumpsuit came back in, and
shut your mouth.
It's coming. It's coming so soon. I can't wait. And I'm going to a conference in Munich now in September. And I'm like, you know, it's interesting because this goes to your work is I was looking at the conference agenda and at night it said like dancing, like there's like dancing at the end of it. And it's a bunch, it's like a European lifestyle conference. And I was like, oh, watch this leopard printed purple jumpsuit. Watch who's Lisa Zahia.
Oh my God. People are going to like stick. They're going to stick to you like you're glue, but in the best possible way. The whole dance floor is going to want to know you.
Yeah. And like what skill set dancing? I was like, oh, got it. But it's super interesting because I got excited going to the trip. I know how long it is. And I was automatically like, you know, flying in the Marcella tunic. And then I'm going to wear this. And like, if I can just add a couple things, and I've told you a couple times, especially living in New York, I have found by having these pieces that you helped me get that I'm standing out and it's making people talk to me. Just think it goes to the point of why I think that this matters.
Totally. And as a therapist, I can hear when that voice comes up around, I don't necessarily want to stand out, or I don't know how to stand out, or what kind of success or connection or relationships will come to me if I am standing out. And the not just fear, but the terror for some people about standing out and having to be the face of their business versus behind the scenes developer and creative director. And we know, and you talk about this a lot, it's the biggest. It's networking and your email list. It's like, those are the biggest things. And so when are you ready to show up? And when are you ready to stand out? Now, there are also people who are not like you, as we know, and the goal of their business and or their personal life is not to stand out in the particular way that you and maybe I also do. But that doesn't mean that this work isn't valuable to them, because again, comfortable and confident, that's what we're looking for. Because all of the pieces, like enjoying getting dressed is one thing, but also not being distracted by what you wear is really important, because the mental space, particularly with women around beauty standards and looks that takes up, is one of the biggest distractions that we have to doing anything. It's the ways in which we continue to be not convinced, but like continue to be encouraged to stay small. And so for me, it's like, if we have down our colors, our size, our fit, the wardrobe, et cetera, that makes that part so much easier. And you're not even thinking about that. And you're out in the world and you're doing, your brain is freed up of that mental space. And there are a lot of people I know who don't go places. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people have said like that they wouldn't even go out with their friends. They have rejected or declined invitations with friends because they didn't know what to wear, which is sadder than anything, particularly about friends.
Yeah. I think that the thing that I think about for me is just like, I always felt in clothes overflow and squeezy as a curvy woman. And, you know, for me, mid-size curvy, that I can't even imagine what that experience is like for people who have different bodies than me. But I just was like, I want to feel like what I'm wearing fits. And you also, like, there's not anything that I own right now that's like not archived because it's something I want to keep that doesn't fit me well. And I just, it doesn't make you think in a bad way about what you're wearing where you're just self-conscious of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that every time I have my initial style consultation with a new client, there comes a point where they share with me either a part of their body they're uncomfortable, if not more than one, and or a thing that they have experienced around, I can't find XYZ because of XYZ. So the shape of their body impacting what they can and can't find out in the fashion world. So too short, too tall, long legs, short torso, round belly, super large chest, butt, everything, right? Length of neck, like things come up and they're like, nothing looks good on me because. So I shut down when shopping and I'm over it, right? And also the beauty and fashion industry have catered to straight-sized white women. So it is expanding. It is not expanded enough, but it is an expanding market. And so there are more things available. However, I also took you into a store that anybody could walk into and find clothes. So it's, you know, that's the gift that I bring, is that I stop that process before you shut down. I create the outcomes before you even enter.
Yeah. And I think you have great languaging around, like, we're just going to try it. And there's not the same thing I can experience alone in a dressing room, which is like frustration, shame. You know, the interesting thing is, like, I had to downsize a lot because you're like, this is going to fit this way after you wear it for so long. And I think one of my favorite things that I've talked about is you had a bunch of things prepared when I got there. So I didn't have to like look for my size. And I bought a pair of pants that I love, and I realized I was putting them on recently, and I was like, oh, I never knew what size they were. And that felt really good. And it just makes me appreciate your work, because I'm pretty comfortable with, like, I literally wear everything from an extra small to probably a double XL. So I'm like, who cares? But I'd imagine for people who are in that process, that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, it's both. One of the things that frustrates people so much is that what you just said, the XS to double XL, it's like, I don't know what size I am, and particularly with the brand and whatever. So again, from a technical perspective, I often know those things based on brand or store, et cetera. But yeah, like, what would it be like to walk into a dressing room and say, you know, either this is what we're going to try on and it fit perfectly, which happens a lot, or we're going to try on these two sizes and whichever one fits best is the one we end up with. And then, like you said, it's not until somebody gets home and just so happens to see the sizing. It doesn't matter. It's about how it fits and how it feels, most importantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to push back, because I hear sometimes people say, like, this shouldn't matter. Tell me why it matters, how I'm presenting myself and what I look like.
Oh, yeah. I love this question. And I can school anybody in this question, because it isn't about what you wear. It's about how you feel. So I do have a little bit about what you wear, and I will get back to that. But I shop with people everything from luxury brands to consignment. And I even offer, you know, if this is your budget and this is your values, to go to thrift stores, we can do that too, right? Everybody has a personal style and or has the opportunity to create one. It isn't about flashiness and name brands and all of that and all of the things, right? But it is about looking like yourself. And so if you're just throwing on sweatpants and a sweatshirt every single day, not only does that maybe not reflect who you really are and or all the parts of yourself, it might not inspire you or feel good or help you, like, especially with the work from home, like, help you transition from I was just drinking coffee to now I'm working with, you know, XYZ client. I'll say one more thing in between. Quality clothes feel different on your body. So even if we're going to look at that through consignment, a resale or thrift stores, it's like, I know how to find the pieces that are quality at those places. So I am always urging people to focus on quality. And oftentimes that does mean spending a little more money, because A, the fashion industry is the second most polluting industry in the world. And there's nothing like buying something you love, throwing it in the wash, and it coming out half the size and with the edges all frayed, or that kind of like squiggle that happens when things warp, which TJ Maxx clothes are notorious for. So if we're going to shop at TJ Maxx, we're going to go for the things that I know are going to last them, so that you're not wasting your money on 100 pieces that last you 1 to 2 wears or whatever. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but 5 wears. We're going to invest in pieces, because then also with those quality pieces, you're encouraged to take care of them, and taking care of the things that you own is a part of taking care of yourself and taking care of your money. The thing about looking good, so people do have impressions of us. So it is important that we create a sense of what is the impression that I want to make. And we get judged by that. So if you are somebody who works with your hands in a craft that, you know, like, maybe gets messy or is very earth-based, your clothes might reflect that, but that also gives somebody the impression of like, oh, this person works with their hands in a craft that is earth-based, like natural dyes or pottery, et cetera, because you're trying to send a message, and whatever you look like is going to send a message and give a first impression. So at the very least, know what colors look good on you, which I do a seasonal color analysis. I don't recommend stopping there, but at the very least, know what colors look good on you, because you could wear a potato sack and still look good.
Yeah. And I think that I hear people be like, it shouldn't matter. And then I'm like, look at the world around you and notice that you do it. I was flying. I fly all the time. Like when I go to TSA, they like have their shirt tucked in and they look proud of themselves. Like, I'm like, I feel safer. Mm-hmm. So like we do it. And I think that it's useful to separate that from I'm supposed to look a certain size, way, color, and even I love the most is people expressing themselves with fashion who are out sort of any like societal norm. Like that's the best.
That's the best.
Yeah. And that's always super inspiring to me.
And I think, you know, I appreciate people who reject the social norms. I appreciate where they're coming from. That's an important value. And then I want to come back and say, okay, if we are dismantling these norms, then where does that leave us? Because we have to get dressed every day. So just asking yourself, does this feel good on my body? Period. And if it does, great, you might be in the right spot. And like you said, there is a sense of security and trust, especially for people who are listening to your podcast around creating businesses. A lot of your listeners are entrepreneurs. And so it's like, how do you instill trust? Part of it is showing up in a way that looks and feels trustworthy. The other part is consistency. So that I helped you with consistency as well.
Yes. And I think if people are going to spend money on you, they are judging all parts of it. And I think that it's worth thinking about that. Like when I walk into a restaurant, I judge it based on what it looks like. And, you know, I just think for me, it was interesting to differentiate that from pressure to be societally beautiful. But yeah. Instead, like, I want to look like myself, but also like for me, I want to look neat and I want to look kind of expensive.
That is your desire, right? You know, the rejection of all of this, and we don't have to go on and on about it, but the rejection of all of this is essentially saying, I reject diet culture. I reject the patriarchal norms that have set this up. I reject white supremacist culture and how that's influenced straight sizes and the fashion industry. That's what we're saying. That's good. But then where does that leave us? Do we choose to not have choice anymore?
So how did you decide to do this? You're trained as a therapist. When were you like, you know, I think this is really interesting because you like therapist is a very stable job. What drove you to be like, I'm going to add this to what I do?
Yeah. So I grew up in a home of creatives, singers, pianists, artists, web designers, graphic designers, et cetera, actors. And I always thought I would do something creative. And I used to sing as well and got accepted to some colleges for singing. And I chose to go a different direction. And that took me towards getting a degree in social work. And I have always wanted to be in the profession where I get to support people in their health and healing. And I'm really good at that. And I was doing on the side for fun and for free. So I never let go, like continued to sing in lots of different places with bands at different places. And so I always kept that creative side of myself, and outside of work, I had this always creative. And I started going through my friends' closets for fun and for free. And it was after some time of them saying to me, I didn't know that I had so many amazing things in my closet. I didn't know how to wear this. I feel so much better. I love getting dressed now. And them reflecting back to me that it was more than just how they looked, but it was truly how they felt and how they walked through the world. And so I made sense of that. I was like, okay, this has not been done before. And it is very clear to me that this is what I need to be doing. So I shifted from like the helping profession, and I put that secondary to personal styling and fashion consulting. It came very natural, and couldn't find anyone anywhere, and still haven't, that has this degree and does this work. lots of stylists understand the body image piece and how hard it can be for people to step out of their comfort zone. But so I just started to build it, and I kept my private practice on the side, which I still have a small private practice, and I just continued to build it. And now, you know, I work with people internationally.
This podcast is brought to you by Coaching with Lisa Zahia, a business development company which provides strategy, coaching, and staffing support to mission-driven businesses. We help create bold and impactful businesses and to help the founders become the people who can do it. Curious about how to grow your business? Schedule a free consultation at www.chatwithlisaz.com. www.chatwithlisaz.com.
Yeah. What do you feel like gave you the confidence to do it?
You know, the inspiration, my husband, he just kept reflecting like, this is right. This makes sense. And my friend saying, this makes perfect sense. And you are so uniquely qualified to do this. That, and I'm super stubborn and willful. And I was like, I want to do this. So I never gave up. I mean, I had cancer in the process of building my business. We were dealing with infertility. We had so many things happening in the process of building my business. And all of those things could have frightened me back into a stable agency job as a social worker. And once I left, I couldn't imagine my life without art.
That's beautiful. And do you like, tell me a little bit, just because people are listening to this who are setting up businesses, how did you decide how you would work with people?
As an evolving process, it's actually very similar to what I do now. It's just really, it's evolved in different ways. But, you know, I have this initial session with people. I want to know who they are, who they've been, and where they're going. And then I do the therapeutic work of deep diving into, what does this really mean for you? What is the true alignment of the inside to the outside through what you wear? And then I go through their closets, and then I shop with them. The evolution has been the expansion of that through programs that I have, like a virtual closet. Yes, totally like Clueless. And also through being able to work with people virtually. So that took me, that expanded my business hugely. And then also working, one of my favorite places to work is in branding and marketing, like in these photo shoots. I just did a photo shoot in Seattle with a client over the weekend, and it is an embodiment of everything that they love and believe in and every part of themselves, because it's imagery and sometimes video, but it's mostly imagery that is telling the world who they are and telling the world what they do and what their calling is. And so it's the pinnacle imagery around that. And it's phenomenal because we get to wrap in all the archetypes of who they are into each individual look. I mean, it was like a wedding day. She slept bad the night before because she was nervous, and we celebrated at the end, and it was such a loving experience. I mean, that I love, and I do that again with people around the world.
Awesome. I love it. I want to ask some questions that I feel like everybody would ask a stylist. What do you say to people who are like, but I want to lose weight?
So many people I work with say that. And I say, people talk about their bodies in an objectifying way all the time. Yes. And the like simplest answer is, you have to get dressed today. So why don't you enjoy it? The other thing is, we know that we aren't guaranteed any other day beyond or moment beyond the one we have now. So if we're going to wait for something, then we're likely going to miss out on something else, and or we may not get that. Also, weight loss is one of those things that people almost always want. Not everybody, but people who want it almost always want it. Like, in other words, they don't hit their goal weight, or they have an experience where they go back to another weight and then they lose it again. So they're always thinking like that. And to me, you know, and not to create judgment or shame, but it just to say it plainly, it's an excuse to not invest in oneself.
Yeah.
And then if somebody is in an actual weight loss process, which, do what you want with your body. If you are actually in the process of losing weight, we do look for clothes that are adaptable to that. And we may size down a little bit more, and we might invest a little bit less money on the front end if they are going to immediately grow out of their clothes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say for everybody, if you're ever thinking about something like this, like I just have a body that fluctuates a lot because, you know, and even like, it's interesting to not be in the point where like, I'm trying to get bigger or smaller. It has to do with like, how heavy am I lifting? I might get bigger. If I'm moving a lot, I'm doing a lot of cardio, I might get smaller. Is that like almost all of my clothes accommodate that, like probably over a 10 pound fluctuation. And like with my body type, you're going to get stretchy things anyway.
Well, and also quality clothes do that.
Yeah. So I like, you know, my weight has fluctuated since we started working together in the normal course, also seasonality and everything still, I can wear everything.
That's awesome. Can you imagine not having had something to wear for the last 6 months, like all of the places you've been, all of the events that you've attended, can you imagine having waited?
Yeah. And like, it doesn't have to be, you know, like I can buy myself black jeans and a black shirt. Like I would say that I came in somewhat intermediate. Like I know how to shop and have, but like you allowed me, like I got this like orange and black kimono. And I just want to tell this story. I went to like a women's art event in New York City and I walked in black jeans and a black t-shirt, but with the kimono over it. And everybody was like, where did you get that? You look great. Everybody talked to me and was like, what do you do? And they assumed things about me because of how I chose to present myself. I found out later, the one lady who like most wanted to talk to me, last name was Rockefeller. And I was like, I'm so fancy. But that kimono could have fit me. I mean, like within like a 60 or 70 pound weight difference.
For sure. Yeah.
And I would have looked equally confident in it, you know, on my most beautifully curvy and smallest friend, we all could have worn that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And what an easy thing to bring in, to utilize, to bring in your personality and to elevate your look. Like you said, jeans and a t-shirt, which any one of us, actually, I did just work with a client who she said, it doesn't matter how hot it is. I'm wearing my jeans every other day because I haven't owned a pair of jeans in so long because of the shape of my body. I haven't felt comfortable in jeans. So, you know, I mean, so almost everybody can buy jeans and a t-shirt, but if you can't, I can help you with the jeans part too. But yeah, it was just like, that was an addition and how simple it became for you to elevate to that degree that Rockefeller wanted to talk to you and spend some time with you.
And I actually would say Lisa 4.0, the things that really make it look 4.0 are all very flexible. So the next thing I think a lot of people would say is, where do I start? Like, mm-hmm. if they're like, I have this business, I'm wearing my jeans and my t-shirt, my tennis shoes every day. How do I choose what to wear?
Yeah. So I have freebies. I have one freebie that is a stretcher style simply challenge. And what that is for 5 days, you choose something out of your closet that you don't typically wear. And I don't recommend a whole outfit. I recommend an earring, a scarf, a bracelet, a shirt, a shoe, something that you don't typically gravitate towards because you're trying to stretch outside your comfort zone and get comfortable in that way without, you know, I have this trauma-informed perspective. So without overwhelming yourself or blasting yourself into a place that then ultimately shuts you down. So you can do that. I also have a self-guided closet inventory, which moves a lot of things out of your closet so that you really get a look. Like, what are the repeat colors? What do you have a lot of? Maybe you can determine on your own what you need more of. And then my blog and my newsletter always say things. I had a lot of, feedback on a blog and newsletter that I wrote called The Dreaded Chair about how we put something on the chair. The next morning we're in a hurry. We pull it back off the chair. We put it on the chair at the end of the day. And we just circle through these pieces and neglect the rest of our closet. So where do you start? You start with stretching your style simply, and you also just start by calling me and having a 20-minute free consultation. I'll give you whatever I can possibly give you in that 20 minutes, including perspective on what to do next. So in what ways you could work with me that would be most beneficial to you?
The other thing I want to say that I think is interesting with this for the business owners, for people who just want to move forward, is that the people you are looking at who've done what you want to do, for most of us, are doing this. Like for me, it was a very simple decision because this is what I want. all of those people are being styled. Yes. Like they're not doing it themselves. Also, all of those people are wearing tailored clothing.
Right.
Like there's not an actress on TV in a t-shirt where that t-shirt's not made to fit her body, which goes to our friend Tara, who's an amazing tailor. But I love that she says, you don't have to fit in something, you can make it fit you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we know, we share a friend who had a perfectly tailored blazer. And yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I was going to say the same thing. It's like, just like that alone is something she could put on every time she has a speaking engagement, every time she wants to feel a certain way, anytime she wants to go to a networking event, to the point where it could become her signature look, right? Like nobody is going to be judging her for seeing her in the same thing. It'd be nice to have a little variety, and it'd be nice for her to continue to build that wardrobe, which I'm pretty sure she is. And also, what, you know, that one investment piece is taking her such a long way. People talk about it, people notice it, she feels great in it. And so, you know, if you're starting out and you tell me your budget is X, but we know that we need to start feeling into the person that we want to be. So if that's where we are, and we want to be a little bit ahead, we've got to invest in the same way that we invest in the food we eat, and we invest in the things in our home, and we just expect and hope to grow into that. At least invest in something. Don't expect to grow without doing the pieces that will allow you to grow, including showing up as your future self, which in photo shoots, my clients come to me and they're like, this is what I do, and I'm ready to stretch. And by our third session together, they have moved from I stretch a little into I am now wearing things I never expected to wear.
Yeah. And I think that like with the blazer, like, again, you can have jeans and shirts you already own, 3 or 4 of those blazers. That's her thing.
Done.
Yeah. And that's one hell of a blazer. I've seen it. Yeah. So that's not like, oh, I need to buy, you know, and I think that when I was doing this with you, people were like, oh, are you going to have to, like, you have to go buy all this brand or this brand. And I got some new favorite brands, like Marcella and Kate Hugo, but they're not Gucci and Valentino. It's super affordable. And for me, it's within my price point, but it's not like you're trying to make people look like everybody else.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And that would be one of the biggest misunderstandings. Like, I have to attain this. And some stylists will work in that capacity. Like, this is what's in. For me, again, it's that really true alignment of who you are. And we'll find that anywhere. We can find that truly anywhere.
Yeah. And I have seen with friends of mine who are working in speaking, it's like literally they're working with stylists. They are every gender expression, size. Like, it's not like you need to look small or skinny or white or whatever. And in fact, I think a lot of the people like start accentuating something they used to hide from.
I hope that clip gets inserted into the World Wide Web, because that is the most beautiful outcome of feeling in alignment. It brings a confidence, because it is the truest expression of yourself. It brings a confidence that tells your body at a cellular level. Again, this is the trauma-informed work. Like, you're at a cellular level, you begin to create new neural pathways, and your body believes new things. I was really concerned that getting pregnant was going to diminish people's interest in working with me, because they would say, oh, she's less available, she's going to be too busy as a mom, et cetera, et cetera. And I took some time off for maternity leave. My business grew exponentially because I am small, and I'm white passing, and I am small and petite. They saw my body change dramatically, like a 50-pound difference. And then I didn't go back. I'm not back now, but I also didn't go back within a couple of years. And I kept showing up as my most authentic self. I didn't wait. I didn't hide anything. I fucking fucking rocked it. And I know that did not seem odd to me, but I know that that impacted other people positively.
Sure. And that, like, I feel that very clearly about myself, and it has allowed me to, like, I really don't believe that the standard size is the best size, because I have changed, I think through my own self-expression, I've changed like this idea of, like, I hate it when people were like, oh, she's such a good body. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have, well, you walked here. You know, like when we talk about health, like you walked here. Also, like, you either fought that disease, you know, like we've both gone through big health stuff. Like, I'm like, this body got those fibroids out of there. I'm not falling over anymore. Like, this is a good body.
This is a good body.
Yeah. So it deserves the pink pants.
If anybody hasn't seen them, make sure you find a photo of Lisa in the pink pants.
Yeah.
With and the pink everything else.
Realizing that, like, this is going slightly outside of topic, I just want to say this because I think it's important, is that a lot of people, because I'm curvy and I'm bottom heavy, people always used to say, oh, you're specialty, like these kind of people like you, which is like inherently racist to assume that only people of color are going to like me. But the thing I've always said is, no, I have, like, my body type is pretty much popular, like, anywhere but here. So I'm not specialty. And in fact, no one's specialty. We should celebrate where and who we are at any moment. And I've seen from friends of mine with cancer journeys, like, the things that make me sexy right now, they might not last forever. That's, we might right. have to remove or add, or like, no, it's this body right now.
And for people who are going through health issues as they listen to this, right? So if they're in that space where it is very difficult to feel gratitude for your body as it is today, the fact that you're alive is important. And also, I read a book when I had cancer called Cancer as a Turning Point. And there were so many stories about, and this is not to say that mindset is what makes us healthy or not healthy, but how often, including story about what can I change? What can I get rid of? What really matters to me? What are my priorities? How often that improved quality of life, if not, supported the journey back towards health. So again, I want to be very mindful not to be saying that we can change how, whether we're healthy or not, because that is also very white supremacist culture. That's like a thing that's come up for a lot of people, like, oh, just change your mindset. It's not, it is not that. And also in the same of like Dr. Emoto's water study, it's like what we say to our bodies does have an impact. So changing things like how your appearance, showing up, even when you don't feel well, how is that going to change the course of your day, week, or life?
As you said, that's right. I like it. When was the last time you felt awe?
The cheeky answer is that I'm in awe of what a terrorist my 2-year-old has become in a short couple of weeks. He yells at me all the time. He yells at me and he tells me that all we're going to do is go play with the digger outside in the construction zone across the street. But the thing that brings me the most awe is, you know, I had shared a week or so ago with you about, we're going through the process of surrogacy, and we did get pregnant with our surrogate and we lost the baby. In a reflection that I was doing with my family after we lost the baby, I had asked my family, my parents and uncle were in town. I said, what is the highlight of the first half of the year? And what are you looking forward to the second half of the year? And when it came to my turn to share, I was in awe of how different the first half of the year was to where I am now. It is unimaginably different than where I was. And I also said that the highlight of the first half of the year was walking the surrogacy journey with my best friend, who is our surrogate, and watching her have that baby implanted. We laughed, we cried, she peed everywhere on the doctor. We had so much fun. We prayed, we sang, we brought rocks, all of it. And I was in such awe of that moment.
That's beautiful. There's this clip that's like circulating on the internet, and it's Tom Hanks. As like, I was like, where actors sit around. But he said, I just wish everybody knew that like this too shall pass. And he's like, including the good. You feel great right now. You got that gig. You got that talk. Like, I remember I won Belly Dancer of the Universe. And then the next day I got in a car accident. And it's like,
oh my God,
it all goes. So, you know, like there's awe in all of it.
That is the point. Like when we're talking about bodies and we're talking about getting dressed and that we wake up in the morning and we're like, I feel uninspired. I can't possibly imagine wearing something. We can choose to push ourselves and wear something vibrant to try to induce a sense of vibrancy. Or we could also go with that moment and say, I'm going to wear black today. I'm in mourning. I need to be more insular, introverted. But the idea that we can ride that infinity wave of this too shall pass and the moments in between where things are going from something good to something bad or something bad to something good becomes smoother and smoother because you're right, that is life. Like that is in fact just life. So to create some smoothness, particularly because we want to rush out of the bad and we want to hold on to the good, which creates like a staccato-ness or something like that, that does not serve us. So the same with our bodies. Like I wake up, I get dressed or I wear an outfit and I feel like shit. And so I, you know, it's like, okay, great. So tomorrow, later today, whatever.
Yeah. And like embracing and celebrating where I am, you know, like when I had the fibroids, I had boobs I'd never seen before in my life. And I was like, at first I was annoyed to get these out and see what it's like, whoa, it's all going to happen. So yeah. Ride the wave. And also like for me, when I get dressed and feel good, it allows me to reattach to who I am. So even when I was sick, I still could, even if I couldn't wear a lot of my clothes, I could wear the earrings. I could wear the things that made me feel like me.
The talk I often give to entrepreneurs of why aligning your style to the soul of your brand and your business. I usually say, you know, align your style to your soul, but in the case of the people who might be listening here of to the soul of your business is so important because like you said, it's, you know, we have these triggers and if we put on the earrings that are so very you, it will trigger that remembering. Similarly, if we neglect to do that, it triggers a sense of disconnection from ourselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, yesterday I did a feedback session with my clients where they gave me feedback on everything we do. And one of them said, I love how you show up in your own style, which was great. Cause at the time I was wearing like gigantic red earrings and red lipstick. And I was like, well, that's good.
That's awesome.
This is what you get. When awesome. Everybody is ready to become their most exciting selves in their clothing, how do they get in touch with you?
You can set up a free consultation call or on my website, there's a work with me section that has one-on-one therapeutic image consulting, fashion therapy, and you can sign up on my calendar to have that call. I highly recommend picking up the 1,000-pound phone or sending the, you know, 1,000-pound email and just asking. Like nobody's situation is too big, too small, whatever, to work with me. And also if it's not within your budget at the moment, then we talk about what it would look like to make it within your budget over time and how then you can, I mean, that's how you start to orient. You need to know, right? Instead of hiding from it. So that, and you can sign up for my newsletter and just start to get to know me that way or follow me on Instagram, send me a DM. I'm social. I'm real social.
And what's your Instagram handle? We're going to put it in the show notes, but just for people who are listening.
At Soul Reflection. So that's reflection singular and the soul is S-O-L, the Spanish word for sun.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you for dressing me.
Oh, I love you so much.
I love you. Thank you.